This is a Locker Room production.
All right, what's shaking, Red Nation? It's your boy, Jeremy Brenner, here for tonight's recap. Rockets did not win this one for a change. And you know what? That's okay. 2 weeks left, guys. Just 2 weeks left until this nightmare of a season is over. But I will say this. We're going to keep it lighthearted as we usually do here. And because, to be honest, there's no reason to be upset with this. It's just not worth your time. And it's just nice to, you know, be here. I would love to really and truly thank every single person that is listening to this. I am personally thanking you, listener, for tuning in to this podcast, because I don't know why anyone would want to somewhat relive what just happened or relive any part of this loss of a 16-49 basketball team. It's not a very good basketball team that we have here in Houston, or at least the one that took the floor tonight, but you know what? It can't get much worse than this. I love how, you know, when we played the Knicks earlier in the year, right? I think it was maybe about it was one of the early losses in the losing streak that we had, the 20-game losing streak that we had. I want to say it was like loss number three. Yeah, it was loss number five. And we were 11-15 at the time. So just a smidge under 500. We're still adjusting to life post-Harden, thinking that this team had a smidge of a shot to make the postseason. How funny was that? How funny was that that we thought this team was going to make the postseason? But I remember Mike trashed the Knicks on the show. And I was like, Mike, got to look at this team. The Knicks are a good basketball team, y'all. The Knicks are fourth in the East. I really hope we can get some Knicks fans here on Locker Room tonight so that we can discuss their team, because I'm actually really curious about this Knicks team. This is one of the more intriguing teams out East, and I think that if they're going to have a playoff series to host, that could be very interesting. Very interesting. Jake, you are here. Again, Jake Mountford is in the audience. If you want to come up, Jake, and talk, feel free to come on up. I would love to have some company up here with Mike having the night off, but if you can't, no worries. I see Mauricio's coming in the chat right now. If anyone wants to come up and chat, just, you know what to do. Hit that speaker request button and get to go. But I guess I should talk a little bit about this game. Rockets lose 122-97. But Jake Mountford's here with me on stage, our resident British insider or British correspondent slash I don't know what to call you now, Jake. But
I'll take anything you give me. you know, I all season I've been pretty, you know, I'm trying to be as confident as I'm trying to be as in a good mood as possible on these games. But this one is especially hard because my brother's a big Knicks fan, and I've given him so much crap over the years because, you know, we've been in, you know, most seasons on the both visits, but this season we lost both, and I just know that when I went to see my phone tomorrow morning,
first time since 2003.
Yeah,
the Knicks have swept the Rockets in the regular season.
Yeah, but, so it's going to be rough when I see my phone tomorrow morning.
You know, he didn't watch the game with you?
No, he's
on a diehard. You can just say, at least I watched the game.
Yeah, that's true.
I stayed up to watch the game. Fair?
Yeah, I'll throw that back in.
But, so tonight, Christian Wood led the team with 19 points, and Kelly Olynyk 17-10 with 7 assists. Nearly a triple double there. I guess that's something to be excited about. I'm not sure at this
KJ
point.
KJ blocked Obi as well, I guess.
KJ did block Obi Toppin, add him to the wall of shame.
Yeah.
but something. The Knicks just were the better basketball team tonight. Julius Randle 31-7. Derrick Rose 24 points off the bench.
You pissed Julius Randle off. Pissed Julius Randle off, and he does not like that. And look what he done as soon as in the third quarter, man, he was just taking over, and he just completely blew the game out.
I'll tell you this: I am shocked that Julius Randle is going to be the primary player on a top four team in the playoffs. Mm. props to him because he definitely exceeded my expectations. I'm very impressed with Julius Randle this season. He deserved to be an all-star. His team is fourth in the East, mainly because of him. Do I think he is the future number one guy for the Knicks? No, I think it's RJ.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. If they get the right guy, they could get a serious guy in free agency. They have a lot more of a reason to for free agents to go there now. Watch out for the Knicks in a few years, man. If they can keep this up, the defense they play, I love teams that put defense first. They put defense first, and, you know, it's paying off. But any last words, Jake? I have some other people that want to come up, but if you have anything to share.
Oh, you know, just hope the season ends sooner than it does. It's been rough.
Yeah,
you know,
well, hey,
like you said, off-season is going to be
sooner,
fun. So.
Every time you go back to you go to sleep, it's one less sleep until the end of the season, and it's when the true season begins.
Exactly,
Jake, again, thanks for your support. Everyone, double-tap Jake before I head out so you can gem him up. And Jake, I guess I'll catch you on the flip side sometime later this week.
Yeah, have a good one, man.
All right. I'm going to bring up Mauricio here for Mauricio, longtime caller, first time speaker. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking.
For sure. And anything you'd like to add about tonight's game or anything outside of tonight's game possibly?
Well, I'm glad that I didn't see tonight's game, but I'm also very upset because I was born in New York. I came to Houston when I was 2, and seeing that my hometown team is losing to another hometown team of mine makes it seem like it's weird. I don't know which team to root for now. Like, do I root for the Nets or do I root for the New York Knicks?
That's a good question because, I mean, a lot of people have been kind of thinking about the net. Like, people are split on this, especially because I assume that a reason why you would want to support the Nets, not only because you're from the city, but also because James Harden's there. And I'm curious as to what other people are thinking. And feel free to chime down in the comments for those that are listening to us now. But are you going to support the Nets in the playoffs? I'm at this point where I don't know. If James Harden's not playing for the Nets, I really don't care. Am I rooting for a James Harden championship? I haven't really asked myself that question, but I guess this is a good time to do that. Mauricio, I'll ask you, would you be happy if James Harden and the Nets won the championship this year?
Yes, because I want James Harden to win a ring before he retires.
I think that's how I feel, too. I'd rather see James win a ring than go ringless. And yes. I think that although it might sting a little bit for him to win a ring with Brooklyn as opposed to Houston, I think the pros outweigh the cons. And I think that the happiness that I would have would outweigh the sting.
Yeah.
But I guess if you're looking strictly at teams this year, the Knicks are coming into this postseason as an underdog. They're not going to be seen as a primary threat. And I think they're going to be a lot of fun. I really do. Because, like, am I expecting them to make it past the second round or make a really deep run? No. But I do think it's, like, right now they're expected to line up against the Hawks in the playoffs. I think they could beat the Hawks in a seven-game series, absolutely. Especially if they can find a way to put clamps on Trey, I would take them. And I like seeing the unexpected happen. It would excite me a little bit to see the Knicks make it past the first round and maybe give the Sixers a little bit of a run for their money or the Nets. Imagine we get a Nets-Knicks playoff series. I know a lot of people were talking about the potential of a Clippers-Lakers playoff series the past couple of years, but imagine we get a Nets-Knicks playoff series. I don't know if it would mean as much because the Knicks don't have that same star power as the Nets do, but I would love to see that in the playoffs.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Is there anything you'd like to add, Mauricio? I got other people requesting to speak.
Well, I just got to say one more thing. Tank for Cade.
Tank for K, absolutely. Hey, and look, once this season ends in 2 weeks, we're going to be ramping up a lot of the – we're really going to dive into Cade and Evan Mobley and Jalen Green and Jalen Suggs and all of the prospects. We're going to really – because these next couple of months are crucial for the Rockets' future. So we're going to be definitely talking about those a lot more in once the new season begins. And yeah. I'm really excited about that too. June 22nd, circle the date. But appreciate you coming up, Mauricio. Feel free to double tap his profile as he heads out so you can gem him up. And thanks, Mauricio, for coming on. Hope to see you soon.
Yeah.
All right. I saw Ken. Did you want to come up and speak? I know you're a Knicks guy. I'm looking for a Knicks guy to talk to. So it'd mean a lot to come up. But Ken, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Jeremy. How are you?
You know what? I would be a lot better if the Rockets won.
I understand.
I tell that to all the people that ask me that, because I ask them, and it's just natural for them to ask me back. And usually we're talking about a Rockets loss, so I feel horrible, but thank you for asking.
I hear you,
man. I'm sure you probably feel a lot better than I do.
I do, and I got to tell you, man, this is probably the best win we've had all year, and I only say it because – I barely watched this game. I saw we're playing the Rockets. We haven't played in 4 days. I'm like dying for this game. And I saw this game and I was like, no, listen, and it's not a dig. It was just that I feel so good about the Knicks and where they're going and what they've been doing over the last like month and a half. I saw the Rockets, I'm like, I don't need to watch this game. I mean, granted, I'm a Mets fan, so I was watching the Mets and Phillies play right now. So I was more focused on that. Which is it's kind of bad to say because this is a game in May and this, you know, in the beginning of the year, and I'm not watching a Knicks game with 8 games to go at the end of the year. But that said, I just knew we would dominate a team like that. And it's no dig against the Rockets. It's just that I knew that I had
you can dig against the Rockets. It's okay.
it just felt good to have that confidence. Like, honestly, it's not even to be cocky. It's just the confidence.
Yeah, well,
as a fan, I'm like, oh, we got. I'm like, I got watched a little bit. I'm like, all right, well, you know, we're running and gunning with them in a little bit. Okay, now we're up 8. Now we're up 15. Oh, we're back down to 12. And then I was just score watching. I couldn't tell you who had the most points on our team. That's a great feeling, only because, you know, I haven't had that feeling since 2012. So
it feels. How did the Knicks go 4 days without games?
I don't know. I think because we played a lot of games. Like, there was a lot of back-to-backs. There was a lot of 4 and 5 day games. You know, 3 and 4 days.
Yeah.
So
I'm glad you said that, because I can take this as a schedule loss now.
Yeah.
This was a schedule loss because the Rockets played last night. The Rockets are on a back-to-back.
We almost had a week to prepare for you. We almost had a full week to prepare.
It's the NBA against the Rockets. That's exactly what this is.
Like,
I call Tibbs,
you were no match for Tibbs.
Buffoonery, tomfoolery, all of that. I'm putting the NBA on notice right now.
Tibbs was prepped like 3 days ago.
He had a whole, like, he had like 3 film sessions on the Rockets.
Absolutely.
One was probably on Kevin Porter after he dropped 50 on Thursday. I'm still not entirely, I'm still buzzing over that, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that's a great thing, though.
I'm still riding that high. I might ride that high until we maybe get our draft pick. Like, that is how, like, I'm still, because nothing has been that exciting for the Rock, like, as that this whole season. And, like, but I knew against the Knicks, like, and what makes the Knicks so good is their defense. They really prioritize defense.
Absolutely.
So, like, I just want to get your perspective on this, Ken. How far can this Knicks team really go?
I mean, I think you said it before. You know, I think second round is not a squeeze. That's not something tough to say. I definitely think we can get to second round. I'm really curious, though, because I don't think we'll match up against a team like the Bucks. But if you watched our games against the Nets, if you watched our games against the Sixers, I'm not saying we're going to beat these teams. I'm just telling you, I think it can – for someone to say, oh, it's only going to go 5 games, I think you're dead wrong. We run every single game that we've played in the last month and a half with those two teams. It come down to the wire. It was back-to-back losses against the Nets and Sixers, you know, with one score in between us. So to me, you put seven game, like a 4 out of 7 game series in front of us with those two teams, I'm going to say 6 games easily, because I know we can defensively, we can match with them. And offensively, if the guys that are supposed to hit their shots do, I think I'm not saying we'll win, but we're definitely going to be, we're not going to be fun to play. And that's the best part. We're not going to be fun to play.
This road trip that the Knicks are on, I'm looking at the schedule right now. I'll also preface this with this statement. The Knicks have won 11 of 12. Their only loss is to Phoenix, who's the number 2 team in the league.
And we almost had that game.
You got it. Yeah. And they nearly won that game. If Chris Paul wasn't Chris Paul, y'all win the game. And they're on this was the first game of a 6-game road trip. They're going to face Denver, Phoenix, the Clippers, and the Lakers. This is I'm really curious to see how the Knicks do on this road trip, because if they do well, if they can win 2 games out of 4 against the top 4 teams in the West,
3-3 would be amazing.
Be very, very. The Knicks are for real, guys. I'm telling y'all right now. I thought that they were going to be a top 4 team in the East, but when they played us earlier in the year at Madison Square Garden, I saw it then, and I see it now. And I'm really excited to see what they do with an extra piece or two. I can imagine, like, a DeMar DeRozan going to New York in the offseason or something like that. Like, this free agency class is kind of weird, because there's no real, like, high-billing superstars except for maybe Kawhi. But I have a feeling Kawhi is going to stay with the Clippers unless something...
I think Lonzo Ball would be a good option. Lonzo Ball would be a nice option,
yeah,
I think.
Like, Lonzo was a perfect fit for New York. Like,
I mean, I wanted him at the trade deadline, but...
I was thinking this. In a weird way, I kind of like Lonzo at the Rockets.
I don't think
he would choose the Rockets compared to other teams, but the Rockets have the money to offer him. Like, it wouldn't be super far-fetched, and... It all depends on who the pick is, obviously. If it's Evan Mobley, if they were to get Evan Mobley and then they could add Alonzo, like, I feel like that would be a real nice fit next to KPJ. But obviously, there's, you know, that's a few steps down the line. But anything to add, sir? Anything to add, Ken? I got a
Just one comment about your, like, how big would the Knicks-Nets thing be? It would prove to be very big. Even though the Knicks don't have the star power, like, that type of series, I think would be, you could say it might be just as big as Clippers Lakers, because everyone here thinks that, you know, the Nets have taken over New York, and it's not happening. The Knicks will always be the number one team in New York, regardless of what the record is and who's the better seed. New York is a Knicks town. So for me, for us to go against a star power team like that, bring it on, man. I'm ready for it.
Yeah. I mean, I think people have forgotten for so long, because the Knicks have been the Knicks for the last 20 years. How big basketball is in New York. And I can't imagine, like, if they were to have them and their biggest geographic rival playing in a playoff series, I think people, because, like, when I think of, like, good Knicks teams, I think of the 90s. And I wasn't around in the 90s. Like, I'm a late 90s baby. So, like, I've never truly seen, like, the Knicks at their peak. So I'm really excited to see this aesthetic. But, Ken, I'm gonna send you off to the peanut gallery. I appreciate you coming up, man.
Thanks for the time, Jeremy.
Yep. Yeah, New York City hosting 7 games. That'd be a wild series. James Harden against the Knicks. Ooh. But I'm gonna bring up Sergio on the stage. Sergio, welcome to the Dream Take, my friend. How are you?
Thank you for having me up here, Jeremy. It's actually being a good day today.
Yeah, I mean, up until maybe about 8:00 p.m. Eastern time. Yeah.
I'm kidding.
But yeah, what's up? What's up, Sergio? What do you got for us?
First of all, today's loss is not a surprise to me. The Knicks have really been proving to actually be not even a title contender, but a playoff contender for the first time since Carmelo was there, which is like 8 years ago. But even then, we have to probably think back until 2003 when they were like really successful. Like the last time they were actually really there.
Allen Houston kind of stuff.
Yeah, the Allen Houston kind of stuff and the. What's his name? The Charles Freewell.
Yep.
But okay, I know that we're still tanking for Cade, but a thing that's really popped into my mind is that here's the question I've always thought about. I mean, everybody can also really, real NBA fans can really think about this. two ball dominant guards in the same on the court at the same time isn't really going to work out. It depends how each of their how their mindsets work, which is how you see Russell Westbrook and James Harden, how they didn't work out. So I think we would have a better chance at drafting a big man because we actually been lacking big men for a long time. I mean, the last big man we actually got was Clint Capela, and that was actually a good turnout. Sucks that he's playing Atlanta. He's breaking out. We're putting up all-star level numbers for the center.
Yeah, you know, I think that things – obviously, like, if you have the number one pick, I'm assuming that you're saying – would you still take Kane with that number one pick?
I would, and maybe okay. If another team's interested in him, it would just, like, be, like, an experiment for, like, the first year and see if, like, any other team would be interested in him that would want a more ball-dominant guard also.
Yeah, I see what you're saying because we've seen this season how Kevin Porter Jr. struggles with John Wall on the court. Versus, you know, how he is when he's not on the court sharing with them. Because, look, when he's not on the court, Kevin Porter Jr. can go for 50 points. So, yeah, I see where you're going with that. To me, I still think that the talent is too much for you to be able to pass up on Cade, even with Kevin Porter in there. I do think that it would be difficult to have Cade, Wall, and Kevin Porter in the same backcourt on the
floor. That wouldn't work.
I can't imagine a lineup where that exists. I do think that if they were to, draft Cade, that they would find a way to move on from John Wall too. I know I've heard from other people that wouldn't necessarily be the case, but I just can't see a world where John Wall, Cade Cunningham, and Kevin Porter Jr. are on the floor at the same time. But my thing with Lonzo that I kind of mentioned earlier, and I guess that I kind of want to re-explain, is I wouldn't. If the pick is Mobley, I think your primary position that you go and attack in free agency is a guard. And Lonzo is probably one of the better guards in free agency. I don't have the full list in front of me, but off the top of my head, he's probably one of the best ones that are out there. And also, on top of that, I don't think we've seen Lonzo in his prime yet. Like, we could, like, whoever signs Lonzo this offseason is going to get prime Lonzo, likely. So if the Rockets could have a guy like that, who's a prime potential all-star, they need to go out and acquire that. So if they were to be in a pick, in a position where they have to go get Evan Mobley in the draft, or where Mobley is the best person available at their pick, go and get him. And then build your free agency around Lonzo. Or if you have a pick that you end up going with Jalen Suggs, where you end up getting Cade, then you build your free agency around a big, which I think is no secret at this point for those that have listened to the Dream Take for a long time, it's John Collins for me. And I do think that John Collins has some all-star potential, to be honest. I really like his game, and I think he would fit really well next to I think he reminds me a lot of Kelly Olynyk, and I think he's better than Kelly Olynyk, and he's younger than Kelly Olynyk. And I think that that's the kind of fit that you would go to. But, you know, thankfully the draft is before free agency, so they can figure out the draft, know where they're picking a month or two out, and then settle their free agency strategy around the draft.
Yes, I would have to agree with that, because the way you're going to build a new team is through drafting and free agency, which right now we just have to hope for the best. I would say Lonzo, he would be a good fit because he's actually been working on his shooting, and his playmaking and defense has also gotten better. And the night before, we see him and Zion, they just go off and just show how in their primes are going to be pretty nasty, which is something else. But what I think about also when in free agency, you as a team, if you're proven to be to withstand everybody in your conference, you would have the most attention team and go, which is why I think New York this offseason would be a landing spot because of the recent success that they've had, like, in a really long time, which they now have a good system. I mean, New York has, it's actually the biggest, actually the largest market in the NBA, but no one wants to go
largest
there.
Largest market in the world.
Yeah, largest market in the world. I mean, who wouldn't want to go to the Big Apple? So I think that New York would actually be able to land Lonzo, There's also been some speculation that they would also keep an eye on Damian Lillard if he would want to leave Portland, which I never see happening. And Zion teasing the fact that he likes playing in New York could be a clue saying that he would maybe one day want to go play in a big market.
But that, like, the thing with Zion is that's 5 years from now. He still has 5 years under Pelicans control. So
yeah, maybe he'd be blessed.
Yeah, you know, the Knicks being good now, and we'll see how long this lasts. I do think that, you know, depending on how teams operate this offseason, like, I do think that the Heat struggled this season mainly in part due to their long season. They were playing games into October last year. You also see it with the Lakers, how they've been struggling, and, you know, in this very fast-paced season, how they've, you know, struggled to keep up. I know injuries have also, you know, hurt both the Lakers and the Heat, so I do think that, you know, the Heat will be better next year. I think you could also make the argument that the Hornets will be better next year, that, you know, there's other teams, and I'm curious to see how the Knicks will respond, because I do think they are, like, I just don't see Julius Randle as the number one option for a real true championship contender. So my thing is, I think with the Knicks, it's going to come down to how RJ Barrett develops, because I do think RJ Barrett has that potential to be that number one guy eventually, but that is more of what their timeline looks like when RJ Barrett eventually enters his prime. He's only, I think he's 20, maybe like 21 at most. So they have time with him. They have time. They have plenty of time. And obviously a lot has to do with the fact of, you know, where's Kyle Lowry going to go? And, you know,
probably Philadelphia.
If he goes to an Eastern Conference team, how does that change the Eastern Conference landscape? And so there's just so many questions right now. And I know it's easy for the Rockets fans and Red Nation to look towards the future, because that's what our timeline is. But for most teams, like, this is their playoff run. You guys know how locked in we would be on our playoff runs. Like, this is the reality for most teams right now, especially considering the fact that, you know, there's the play-in series and 20 teams are going to the playoffs this year. Rockets aren't one of them. So it's easy, but there's just so much time between now and free agency, and so many things can change between now and then. It's easy for the Rockets to look towards that, but this postseason could change a lot.
I mean, this free agency would probably be really stacked, because I think, like, the top people would be to look out for is Kawhi Leonard. You'd also have to look out for Montrezl if he denies his deal also, which he's kind of been doing around LA, and I've seen that the Hornets, they probably have interest in him because they want to be like a title contender in like the next 2 years since they're having really good success right now. And I think the John Collins situation can work out if also his situation with the Hawks can also be resorted. And I think the last piece of the puzzle would be also in Cleveland with Kevin Love probably wanting out because of the way he's been acting out. And now today the rumors breaking out about lots of the people of the Colin Sexton's teammates really being upset with him with the ball handling and how he's been getting really grabby with the ball.
That's never a good look, because whether that's true or not, it got out like you never want things like that to leak out. And this is not the first time we've seen that in Cleveland this season. I wonder, you know, down the line, how Colin Sexton and KPJ will compare. I'm really curious to see how that goes out. And, you know, for Rockets fans to kind of be like, wow, we really lucked out with KPJ. But, you know, we'll see. I'm curious. And also, like, depending on who the Rockets get in the draft will also really affect KPJ's trajectory. Is he going to be a number one option for the team? Will he have to learn how to play alongside another ball-dominant guard? Because I feel like while KPJ is crucial for our team success, another thing that's crucial is because most teams, to be real, like, they have two ball dominant players at the end of the day, and one needs to be beta. Like, both can't be alpha. One has to learn how to be beta. And I think that with the Lakers, like, Anthony Davis and LeBron were both an incredible fit next to each other. They both took turns. They were able how to play. They were able to learn how to share the alpha role and the beta role. And that, I think, is something that KPJ and whoever it is next season, whether it's John Wall or whether it's, you know, Kate Cunningham or whoever it may be down the line, will have to learn. And while I'm hopeful for what KPJ can bring, and, you know, while he is at his best, like, at the end of the day, like, James Harden, he was at his best when Chris Paul was there. And
because Chris Paul was willing to be that number two option.
Exactly.
And it worked out.
And that didn't take anything away from Chris Paul. So that's kind of what the Rockets need to do. They need to find a way to mold Kevin Porter into either a guy that can play with another ball dominant guard, or they need to find a guy that can be the beta. For, yeah. But yes. Sergio, I got other people coming up, but I appreciate you giving us your knowledge. Feel free to double tap Sergio on the way out so we can gem him up. And I appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you very much, Jeremy.
All right. Thanks, Sergio. Yep. All right. And to end off the show, I've got my co-pilot, Mr. Ray Lucas. He's joining me from the West Coast. Appreciate you coming on, Ray. And what knowledge do you have to drop for the people today?
Hey, thanks for having me on, as always. I think it's interesting that you guys are talking about Evan Mobley, because I've spent like the last 2 days trying to write this long, in-depth article about the Rockets picking him and the fit. And I think the thing is if Houston gets the number one pick, they're 100% going to take Cade Cunningham, because I think any team
is going to take him.
What were you saying?
He's in a tier of his own. He transcends need.
Yeah, it's you don't miss him, because then you're going to come back to regret it. If, let's say, you go with Evan Mobley, because it's always going to be a comparison on how Cade is doing, and Cade's probably going to have the best career out of all those guys. But I think the Rockets are in a cool situation because they're not as bad as the typical lottery team, meaning, like, they have pieces. Like, they have a guy who scored 50 and 11, and a lot of those teams don't have that, so... I think if I was picking, I'd go with Evan Mobley. And I think the only way for that to really happen is if the Rockets get the second pick rather than the first, which is kind of what my article is based on. And I think the thing about Evan Mobley is everyone talks about, like, with Cade Cunningham, how well he's going to do with spacing and on the NBA level. And I think that translates with Mobley as well, because, I mean, this guy's 7 foot tall. He's a little thin right now, but so is Anthony Davis. So is Rudy Gobert. That over time, when they're in the NBA weight machines, they're going to bulk up. But he'd be such a great fit, because he doesn't slow down KPJ. He doesn't slow down Christian Wood. He doesn't slow down Jason Tate. Sorry. It's like he just fits in perfectly. And it's like, he doesn't necessarily have to thrive at the start, because, like, with the number one pick, you usually want them to jump out immediately and be this factor. But going number two, it gives you just a little more leeway. And I feel like he'd just do so great on the team. And if they could get a guy like Lonzo in free agency, I feel like that boosts the ceiling for the Rockets and kind of speeds up the rebuild process.
Yeah, and Lonzo, the reason why I've brought him up is because he's the guy, he can be beta. He can play. I think he can really find a way to fit next to KPJ. I think KPJ,
yeah, definitely.
Lonzo doesn't need the ball in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
And Lonzo would be our team's, you know, him and Jason Tate would form a really difficult duo to defend. But honestly, like, this offseason, I'm looking for three main things. Our draft pick, our top free agency priority, and Christian Wood putting some damn weight on. I'm telling you, if Christian Wood can put on 20 or 30 pounds, I can't tell you how much that would change his game. It would make him stronger. He's already really strong just because he's, you know, a 7 foot human being. But if he were, it's like when Giannis came in the league. Like when Giannis came in the league, that dude was, you know, skin and bones. But now Giannis is like Thanos almost. Well, I mean, Zion is more like Thanos, I think, if I had to really
Yeah, but he's close enough.
Yes, he's like poor man's Thanos. So that's what I'm saying. Like, if we can get Christian Wood to be like that, on top of a draft pick, whether it be Evan Mobley or Cade or whoever, and then if KPJ takes another step in the right direction, like, this team does have hope. But I'll say this, like, the question is, are we going to bank on the team that we have currently, like, building up and just counting on their development to take us to the promised land? Or is the star of the Rockets not currently on the roster? And I think it's more likely that the star is not currently on the roster. And I that's why I'm hoping for Cade. I wouldn't be super mad if Evan Mobley was the guy, but the way I see, like, put Evan Mobley on this team right now. Okay. How many games does this team win?
Yeah, probably not a big jump, maybe a couple.
Yeah. But like, I think maybe you're looking at like 5 to 10 more, and that gets you in line for the number one pick possibly again. So, because right now they're 3.5 games worse than every team in the league at this point. So putting them 5 games better gets you, you know, maybe slightly worse draft odds, but still at a point where you're picking at one of the highest picks. So I don't know, but that's the thing, is it's going to take both. It has to take both. You have to rely on getting more talent for the roster, and you have to rely on developing your talent. Both are incredibly important. And I am at this point now with the Rockets where there are two separate timelines almost. There's the timeline that Jayshon Tate and Christian Wood are at. They're 25, and their contracts are not as long. Versus Kevin Porter and KJ Martin, where they're 20-year-olds, and they have a little bit more time to develop. So at this point, I think that there is a conundrum that the Rockets face, where they look at the 25-year-olds, the Christian Woods and the Jayshon Tates, and you may feel a need to, okay, we got to make sure that, you know, we get these guys, we're good while these guys are in their prime. But in reality, the chances of the Rockets being good in their prime is not as likely as it is for the Rockets to be good when Kevin Porter's 25 and and KJ Martin's 25. So that's the thing, is are they going to play the long game, the really long game?
Yeah.
And I think everyone wants to, you know, like, you don't want to be bad. Like, you, the Rockets, you want to see the Rockets get better. And as soon as possible, because nobody likes losing, especially when you're, you know, the worst team in the league by a decent margin. But at the same time, like, do you want a cake that's half baked, or do you want a fully baked cake?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And don't get me wrong, like, cake batter is good, and maybe that's good, but at the same time, it's not as good as a full decorated cake. And that's what's gonna hurt the Rockets have to be patient with this. And, you know, maybe going out, and I don't think it's going to, but at the same time, maybe I'm questioning myself on this answer, because at the same time, I'd like for them to go in and get some really competitive free agents next year. I think they have the potential to be competitive next year if the development of the players go right. It might hurt our draft stock for 2022 and 2023, but eventually, I'm the kind of guy that, you know, you don't lose on purpose, and you don't do it to gain a better draft pick or whatever. I truly think the Rockets are the worst team in the league because they're the worst team in the league, because they are. Like, I truly, like, if you look at the other night when Minnesota was, you know, doing the work on us, like, that showed to me, like, the Rockets are really the worst team in the league, and at this point, the record proves it. It's not close. And so I don't think that this is a tank. I see it as a rebuild. The team is rebuilding. And at the same timeline, I'm not entirely convinced, though, that it's going to stay this way, because I do think that there's talent there. But you risk, by being talented, the chance to fully get what you're going for. And I do think that the Rockets this year went full rebuild. They went full rebuild. They tore it down in order to get their pick and to ensure that they could get, hopefully, a top four guy or give themselves the best chance possible. But I wonder if this is going to continue in the years to come, because Tillman Fertitta has already said that, you know, they don't view the team as a contender next year. So they might choose to sit back on this free agency class that isn't the strongest one that we've seen, and maybe wait on a free agency class that's a little closer to their timeline, a little bit more talented, a little deeper, and where you might be able to attract better free agents because you're a little bit closer to a championship.
Mm-hmm. I think it's so difficult because when you're like the rebuild versus the tank type of thing, because when you're tanking, you don't know for sure. Like next year, if the Rockets were to tank, you don't know for sure if they're going to get one of those top two picks so they could get Chet or Imani. I'd prefer Imani if I was picking. And that's not a guarantee. But I think what's interesting about that is if Houston was to draft Cade Cunningham and then they were bad next year and then drafted Imani Bates, I think it's just fun to kind of play around with, because then you'd have like Cade, KPJ, Imani, and Christian Wood. And obviously there's probably a low chance that that happens and it just works out like that. But I think that's where it gets so tough to decide how you go about your future.
Because Imani Bates was born in 2004.
That's crazy.
That's gross. That's nasty.
It makes me feel old, and I'm only 22. Like, what's going on?
Ray, this dude was six when we were born. Like, we were six when this dude was born. That's who they're drafting now. That's just not fair. Life isn't fair, man. And
I know he's going to be a millionaire soon, and we'll just be living life.
You know, it's funny. I guess I'll just leave this episode with a little bit of advice. You know, you triggered something when you just said millionaire. I was in another room on Locker Room, and I'm just going to use this time to plug Locker Room again, because I tell y'all, when we first got here, I kind of just saw it as like a platform to like go and do things. But let me tell y'all, this app is really – I really do love this app. I've met some really great people on here, gotten to interact with a lot of cool people on here with the Dream Take. It is available officially now on Android. I see my guy Ryan down there, who was very upset when we moved to Locker Room because it was only on iOS. But now it is on Android, so there's no excuse to not getting this app now. But I tell y'all, it's a great community here. We have a lot of fun, but we also care about each other. And even if you're not here to talk sports, if you're here to talk, you know, I do think that the app is growing. It was recently purchased by Spotify. For $50 million, something like that. So, like, it's going to undergo some changes, but it's more than just sports. So if sports isn't your thing 100%, like, you could totally come here and talk about other things. But before I came in here, I was posed this question, and this guy, he asked me, he's like, do you think you can become a millionaire? And I was like, I had to think about that, because, you know, you never really think of yourself in that regard. Like, if you're not a millionaire, and I, you know, my parents weren't millionaires. So like and I don't really have many family members that are that or friends for that matter, but it really got me thinking. It's like, you know, you never know how high you can climb because you've never done it before. So I guess that's just a little piece of wisdom to bestow on the listeners of the Dream Take. If you've made it this far, I'm not sure if anyone's going to make this far. I'm not, but if you are, we are greatly appreciative. I know it's been a really rough year for the Rockets, but man, when this team does make that leap and when this team does make that climb back to where they were a couple years ago, it's gonna feel really good. It's gonna feel so much better because we were able to see the struggle, the whole struggle all the way through when they hit rock bottom. And then they climbed all the way up to the promised land, hopefully. So I'm going to leave it on that. Leave it on a positive note, despite this horrid season. But the real season ends in 2 weeks. So I am looking forward to that. We'll definitely have a lot more episodes on draft prospects, all that. We do have 7 games left in the season. or 7 or 8 games left in the season. Our next game is Wednesday against Philly. Ray, do you have one look on ahead of Wednesday's game against Philly?
Yikes.
Yikes. That's very fair. Yeah, it'll be very interesting. I'm hoping Daryl Morey gives us something to tweet about or something like that. Maybe that'll make the game a little bit more fun. But yeah, Rockets will probably not win that game. If they do, though, ha-ha, Daryl. You shouldn't have left. But yeah, I mean, be sure to go and follow the Dream Take on Twitter at the Dream Take. And you can follow the Dream Shake on Twitter at DreamShakeSBN. Give us a like on Facebook if you're over there. Michael Brown hosts half of our post-game recap shows over there. So be sure to give us a like over there if you use Facebook. You can also check out thedreamshake.com for all things Houston Rockets and ESPNation.com. Ray Lucas's article on Evan Mobley is coming out in the coming days. So be sure to check that out amongst all of our other analyses, pieces, and game recaps, game threads, game previews, everything you need Houston Rockets, you can find at thedreamshake.com. You can follow my co-pilot, Mr. Ray Lucas, on Twitter at?
At Raymond Lucas Jr.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Take. And until next time, go Rockets!